Come on, somebody. I'm not all that special. Why don't we just give praise to the one who saved us? Oh, come on. Let's give praise to the King of Kings. Come on, if you were once lost, if you were once broken, come on, give Him some praise. If you're a treasure out of darkness, if you are a descendant of this vision. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, I'm honored this morning. I just want to take the time to thank Jesus for my salvation. And man, I was just a kid from the streets of Albuquerque. I was broken. I was lost. I made every wrong decision in the book. But I thank God that He gave us a ministry like Victory Outreach, that I could walk through these doors and I could come to these altars broken and with no future. And God has given me a purpose. And then, of course, I want to thank our pastors, you know, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara. Someone once told me that put so much work into the vision that it's a blessing to the generation ahead of you. And Pastor, you have modeled that. And I thank you, Pastor, because I'm here today and I don't take it lightly. And then, of course, I want to thank my beautiful wife. Come on, somebody. I got a real deal gang girl. Man, all week at convention, she's there. Man, she has our second child and she's there serving. She's there with our young people. She's there discipling. And man, I'm just so grateful for you. I love you. Thank you for your support and your prayer. And I love doing life with you. We're a team. And man, let's take the world for Jesus. Come on, somebody. You guys may be seated. I just want to give a real quick report from Gang Convention because this year was very strategic. Come on, somebody. It was very intentional. Last year we raised up and prayed in new gang regionals, my wife and I, and also all around the outreach. And of course, Pastor Ryan, you know, they prayed him in as the new international gang overseer. And God moved in such a powerful way. God is doing something new. You see the shift. You see that the gang, we're not a youth ministry. Come on, somebody. Don't call us a youth ministry. Don't call us a youth ministry because we're not just the middle schoolers and high schoolers and maybe a little young adults there just having service on Friday. But we're the God's anointed now generation. Come on, somebody. When you call us the gang ministry, that means that we are some serious young people who are serious about the call of God. That means that we are some young people who are going to go across the world, who are going to go into Asia, who are going to go into Argentina, who are going to go into Germany, who are going to take the city of Albuquerque, who are going to take the Rio Grande region. So we're not a youth ministry. Come on, somebody. We are the gang ministry. And man, the third wave of revival is here. And we have a recap video that you can check out right there at our International Victory Outreach YouTube page. So if you want to see everything that happened right there in the gang, you can check it out. And then also, if maybe you're like, man, I heard all the powerful things that were going on, you want to catch some of the messages, they're uploaded as well. So right there at our International Gang YouTube page. But God is doing something, and the third wave of revival is here. And with that third wave, we're going to see bondages broken. Come on, somebody. We're going to see healing take place. We're going to see families restored. We're going to see souls won for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, Victory Outreach Albuquerque, that's not just a gang thing. That's not just a Victory Homes thing. But that is a Victory Outreach Albuquerque, a Victory Outreach Rio Grande region thing. We are a part of the third wave, and God is going to move in a special way. Amen. And then real quickly, again, I also want to acknowledge my family. You saw them up here. Man, I just want to thank my father and my, you know, my mother to being here. I love you guys. You have been with me from everything, from the beginning all the way to the end. Every bad decision, every good decision, you guys have loved me. And man, this is a promise that God spoke to me that, man, your family's going to be here and they're going to get to see what I'm doing in your lives. Amen. And man, it just means the world to me that you're here. I love you guys. If you're wondering who my dad is, he's the guy that looks just like me. Come on, somebody. Or I just look like him. Amen. But man, it's just a privilege to be here. But the title of my message, if you're taking notes, is Catch the Wave. Come on, somebody. Catch the wave. Tell your neighbor, let's catch the wave. And we're going to turn to the book of John right there in chapter 8. We're going to start right there in verse 34. Give me a loud amen when you get there. Amen. Praise the Lord. John is one of the Gospels found right there in the New Testament. But the Bible says that Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Now, this is the part I want to focus on. It says right here, "So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." Come on, somebody, give God some praise. How many of you enjoy the freedom that Jesus has given you? How many of you enjoy the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus? Come on, amen. "Who the Son sets free." So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. We're just going to go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we ask, God, Lord, that you move here, God, Lord. This is our year, God, Lord, to elevate, Lord. Father, you're not just there to elevate the leadership. You're not just there to elevate our pastors. You're not just there to elevate what's going on with just certain individuals. But God, you are here to elevate the whole church of Albuquerque, God. You are there to elevate every single person, whether you're sitting in the front or the back, God. Lord, and I pray, God, Lord, that your people, God, Lord, catch the wave, God. Catch the wave of revival, God, Lord, that's taking place. Father, we love you. Father, we praise you. Lord, I pray that you anoint me, God, Lord, to speak your word with clarity, God, Lord. As you get bigger, God, Lord, I pray that I get smaller, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. See, in December 7th, 1941, it was a date that will live in infamy. Japan launched an attack on the U.S. naval base Pearl Harbor. And after 2 hours of bombing, there were 18 U.S. ships that were sunk. There were 118 U.S. aircrafts that were destroyed. And 2,403 people were killed. You see, after this attack, every American rallied and did their part in response to what Japan did. Thousands paid the price in order to protect the freedom that we as Americans enjoy today. And it wasn't just during World War II that soldiers have protected that freedom, but throughout America's history, they have and they continue to protect the freedom that we enjoy. And because of the sacrifices, we can enjoy the benefits that we have as Americans, the freedom that we have as Americans. And I don't know about you, but I feel a personal sense of responsibility to use that freedom in such a way that is worthy of that sacrifice. Because something I've come to understand is how we use something will determine how we value it. How we use something will determine how we value it. See, a carpenter knows the value of his hammer, by the way, because he uses it. A painter knows the value of his paintbrush because how he uses it. And we have to understand is we don't want to throw that freedom away. We want to be able to use that freedom to do something great. Come on, somebody. And I'm here to let you know this Sunday morning that over 2,000 years ago, there was a man by the name of Jesus Christ who died on the cross. And because he died on that cross, and 3 days later, he came back. He came back and ascended into heaven. We have freedom. Come on, somebody. We have freedom from the oppression of sin. We have freedom from the oppression of sin. Because of that sacrifice, we can enjoy the benefits of freedom that we have as Christians. We have freedom from the bondage of sin. We have freedom from the bondage of spiritual strongholds. We have freedom from the bondage of addiction. We have freedom from the bondage of depression. We have freedom from the bondage of whatever the enemy is trying to throw at us because of the sacrifice that Jesus had made. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is how can we use that freedom in a way that's worthy of the sacrifice? How can we use that freedom in a way that is worthy of the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made? Because when we use that freedom in the way that's worthy, let me tell you something. When we use that freedom in a way that is worthy, some things begin to happen. When you live away a life that is worthy of the freedom that Jesus has given us, you begin to see the benefits. Come on, somebody. How many of you want some benefits? You begin to see the benefits that God wants to give you upon your life. You begin to see God's favor. Come on, somebody. You begin to see God's blessing. You begin to see God's protection. You begin to see God's power move in your life like never before. And that only happens when we begin to live a life that is worthy of the freedom that Jesus has given us. We have a freedom here this morning. And let me tell you that the third wave of revival is here. And we can't allow that wave to pass us by. We can't allow that wave to go right over us, Victory Outreach Albuquerque. We have to catch the wave. Because when we catch the wave, there are plenty of opportunities to use that freedom that God has given us. When we catch the wave, we begin to see the opportunities that God has given us to use the freedom. Amen. The wave gives us many opportunities to use the freedom. Within the third wave, we can use that freedom to evangelize. Come on, somebody. We could use that freedom to go and share the love of Jesus Christ with our neighborhood. We could use that freedom to share the love of Jesus Christ with our coworkers. We could use that freedom to share the love of Jesus Christ with our friends and our family. Come on, how many of you want to live a life worthy of the freedom that God has given you? How many of you want to go out and be the light of the world, be the salt of the earth? We could use that freedom to disciple. Come on, somebody. How many of you got a disciple out there? I was blessed to see two of my disciples here testifying about what God was doing in their lives. We could use that freedom to pour into somebody who is broken, who is lost, who is hurting, and you could show them what it means to look like a man of God or a woman of God. You could show them what it looks like to have a godly family. You could show them what it looks like to live a life of integrity and honor covered by the precious blood of Jesus. We could use that freedom to pray, because how many of you know we need prayer? We can use that freedom to serve. Amen. Unfortunately, some may say that my generation, that servanthood is a cuss word. Well, I'm here to declare to you, no, this generation, the now generation, man, we're here to serve. We're here to serve this generation. We're here to serve our community. We're here to serve our leaders. We're here to serve God. See, the wave provides opportunities for us to use the freedom that we've been given. It's important that we catch that wave. Not only does it give us an opportunity to use the freedom, but it gives us an opportunity to share the freedom with the people around us. Because how many of you know it's not enough just to get saved and sanctified and come to church every Sunday or Wednesday or gang night? But no, we have to share that same freedom that God has given us with the people around us. There are people who are in bondage. There are people that are broken. There are people who are lost. There are people who are suicidal. There are people who are depressed. There are people who are addicted. There are people right now on the streets of San Mateo and Central who need the love of Jesus Christ, and they want to experience the same freedom that you and I are experiencing here on a Sunday morning. But there's three things that we must do if we're going to catch the wave and use it. And use the freedom that Jesus has given us. The first thing is we have to seek Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you have to seek Jesus. See, during this time in the Bible, there was a lot of confusion with who Jesus was. See, the Israelites, they took pride that they were God's special people. They were set apart. They were special. And God had chosen them. And throughout the Bible, you read how God had led them. God had provided for them. God had fought some battles for them. And God had blessed them. I want to let some people know here today that you are God's special people. You are His chosen generation. You are His royal priesthood. And God wants to lead you. God wants to bless you. God wants to heal you. God wants to provide for you. Why? Because we are His chosen people. And just like He did that all for the Israelites, He wants to do the same for you and I. But during this time, the Israelites were under Roman rule. They were oppressed by a foreign government. The Israelites were and at this time, the Israelites were looking for the Messiah because they believed that He would be, that He would set the people of Israel, He would set them free, let them go and establish God's coming kingdom. They believed that the Messiah was going to be the one to give the Roman Empire the boot. But when Jesus stepped on the scene, there was a lot of confusion. You read here in chapters 7, 8, and 9 of the book of John. And the Israelites were confused. They didn't know who Jesus was. On one hand, they saw Jesus perform many miracles. They saw Him heal people. They saw Him bring sight to the blind. They saw Him bring people back to life. And they also saw Him preach the coming kingdom of God with power and conviction. But on the other hand, the religious leaders of that day, the ones who the Israelites looked to for spiritual guidance and were responsible for leading God's people, adamantly opposed that Jesus was the Messiah. Isn't it a sad day when the religious leaders, isn't it a sad day when the ones who God has given charge over to lead the people who He loves start to lead them astray? There was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of confusion surrounding Jesus. And I can't help but look at today and see that out there in the world, there is a lot of confusion surrounding Jesus. See, the media portrays the man of God as a hypocrite. The media portrays the man of God as some kind of condemner. The media portrays the man of God as some kind of con artist. And then there are those people who are hurt by the church, who because they were looking at imperfect man, instead of looking at a perfect God, they began to conjure up some idea that Jesus isn't really for them. And there's a lot of confusion going on out there. Time and time again, when we're out hitting the streets and we're praying for people and we're talking to them, they'll say, man, I was hurt by the church, or the TV just says that this Jesus thing is fake, or whatever it is. There's a lot of confusion. And we need to remove that confusion by seeking Jesus. I'm not talking about all the messages you hear on podcasts or on the TV or whatever you're hearing somebody else say. I'm talking about the way we need to seek Jesus is digging deep down in our Bible and reading it for ourselves, coming here at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning and praying at these altars and believe that God is going to move in your life. Believe that Jesus is going to become real to you. Believe that Jesus is going to become your provider, your healer, everything to you. We need to seek Jesus and stop looking everywhere else and come to Him personally. I remember when I first got saved. In the beginning, I was discipled by this man. You know, he took me in and his family. And one of the most important things that he taught me was that I have to have a relationship with Jesus. That's all that mattered. I would come to Him and say, man, God is doing this in the gang and He's called me and I'm serving here and I'm doing this. But man, sometimes He would rebuke me and say, brother, that's all nice and dandy. That's good. But you need to start your ministry right there in your prayer closets. And I kept that conviction. 5 years later, man, I'm not about just the preaching. I'm not about the lights or the music or the talent. But what is important to me is my relationship with God, because because my ministry and the things that I do flows from that. And we need to seek Jesus. That's what comes first. Sometimes, unfortunately, we can come to a place where we're just working. Maybe we come to the church for the first time and we get saved and God moves in our lives and we know without a shadow of a doubt that He's real. Because when I came to these altars, God became real to me and nobody else could tell me otherwise. But in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the work, we can lose sight of what's truly important. So it's important today, Victory Outreach Albuquerque, that if we're going to catch the wave, that if we're going to catch the wave of revival, if we are going to be a part of this third wave and we're going to see family members saved, we're going to see the streets of Albuquerque flooding here at the church and people coming to these altars, if we're going to see people healed, come on, give God some praise. If you really believe that God is going to move, then we need to seek Jesus. That's the most important thing. See, there are a few benefits of seeking Jesus. The first thing is Jesus gives you peace. See, when you seek Jesus diligently and earnestly every day, and you're reading your word and you're seeking Him, man, He'll give you peace. Because how many of you know in this crazy world we need peace? Come on, sometimes things happen, amen? Sometimes things don't always go your way. But it's in those times when things fall apart and everything is going wrong. It's when we seek Jesus, He'll give us a supernatural peace. The Bible says that He will give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, that will guard your heart and mind. That when everyone else is looking at you and saying, man, when the devil's looking at you and saying, man, I'm throwing everything at them, and they're still standing there praising, they're still standing there smiling, they're still here at church, they're still serving, man, it's because you have the peace of Jesus that comes from seeking Him. Second thing is He gives you conviction. Come on, tell your neighbor, conviction. He gives you conviction. What's conviction? Conviction is the thing that'll stop you from doing what's wrong. It's the guard that'll keep you on the straight and narrow. When you seek Jesus, when you're in His presence, it's a lot harder to sin. Come on, somebody. When you seek Jesus and you're in your presence, it's a lot harder to fall away. It's a lot harder to get mad at your brother. It's a lot harder to get mad at your sister. It's a lot harder to give up. Why? Because you're in the presence of the King of Kings, and that presence will give you a power and a conviction to stand even when you don't feel like it. That's what I'm teaching in the gang. The warriors, man, it's like, I don't care if you can preach. I don't care if you can sing. I don't care if you got talent. That's all good and dandy. Use it for the honor and glory of God. But what really matters is your conviction, because your conviction has to match your character. You have a big calling. You have a big calling. You have to have big character. Your conviction has to match your calling. You get that through seeking Jesus. Also, when you seek Jesus, He gives you direction. How many of you want some direction in your life? I have a great illustration about the GPS, but I promise, Brother Cisco, I won't use it, because I used it the last two preaching. Amen. The God positioning system. But when you seek Jesus, He will give you direction. He will give you direction when you feel like you don't know what to do or where to go, or when you feel lost, when you feel confused. When you seek Jesus, He will make every crooked path straight. We have to seek Jesus. I often think of this story I just read where it was talking about there was a boy and a son. And the father was walking with his son, and they were just enjoying a day at the park, and the son looks up at the sky and he sees a plane. He's like, Daddy, what's that? What is that? And the father looks at him and says, well, son, that's a plane. And the son looks at the sky and he's like, man, that thing must be so small. It looks so small. And the father, you know, he kind of looks at him and says, hold on, let me show you something. So they take a walk and they get in the car and they drive to an airport. And the son, and the father takes the son to an airplane that's grounded. And he says, son, this is an airplane. And he says, wow, dad, that thing is so huge. How come it looks so small in the sky? And the son began to tell him that the distance, he began to tell him that the distance that you are from something, in other words, depending on how close you are to something, will determine the size of something. Come on, somebody. The distance you are away from something or how close you are from something will determine the size of something. And that same principle comes when it comes to the things of God. When it comes to our relationship with God, when you have a distant relationship with Him, He seems like a small God. But when you're close to Him and you seek Jesus every single day and you're right there, He is a big God. And He reminds you that it doesn't matter the things you face. It doesn't matter the opposition that you have. It doesn't matter if everything's falling apart. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You have a big God, and it's because you're close to Him. It's because you're close to Him. The second thing we need to do if we're going to catch this wave is we need to surrender to Jesus. Come on, somebody. We need to surrender to Jesus. Some of you guys don't like that word. Amen. See, surrender, by definition, means to cease resistance. Come on, somebody. Cease resistance to someone and submit to their authority. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, I resisted authority. Come on, somebody. Man, that's why I pray for my dad. I thank my dad every single day. Because I would run from it. I didn't know how to surrender. My dad told me one thing, I'll be running in the opposite direction. But we have to learn to surrender. See, if we're going to catch the wave and use the freedom that Jesus has given us, we have to surrender in every aspect of our lives. We have to surrender. I'm going to say it again. We have to surrender in every aspect of our lives. Not just our leftovers. Not just what we want. Come on. Not just what is convenient. We have to surrender in everything. See, we live in a world where people are more concerned with their own agenda than they are with God's agenda. Everyone knows that my favorite superhero is Batman. Come on, somebody. I am a big superhero fan. I love superheroes more than I love sports. So when I'm surrounded with all the pastors and everyone, they're talking football, I'm just kind of there. Thank God for Brother Cisco. Amen. He kind of tells me what's going on. But I'm a huge superhero fan. And there was a movie that came out a few years back called Batman: The Dark Knight Rises. How many of you remember that movie, right? Christopher Nolan trilogy, one of the greatest Batman movies ever of all time. And there's a part, I'm going somewhere with this, come on. And we were like, what's this brother doing? Amen. There was a part in the movie. Come on, I'm a gang leader. Come on, I gotta keep it relevant. But there was a part in the movie where, Bruce Wayne, the actor playing Bruce Wayne was Christian Bale. He found himself locked up in this prison. And he was in a giant hole, and I'll kind of explain it to you for anybody who maybe have not seen the movie, but he was in this giant, and this prison was this giant hole. And it was deep into the ground. And if you just looked up, freedom was there. There's no guards. There's nobody trying to keep you up. All you had to do was just scale the wall and climb to the top. And so what Christian Bale does is he ties a rope around him. Remember the rope? There was a part where, you know, he's Batman, so climbing this wall is pretty easy for him. And there's a part on the wall where there's this huge gap. And see, you have to understand, to get across, you have to jump over, you know. And so Christian Bale, he gets to that part and he tries to jump and he falls and the rope catches him. And so he keeps on trying it over and over and over again. And by the 100th time, you know, he's still there falling, and He can't figure it out, and he's looking at it, and another character in the movie tells him, you know what you have to do? You have to cut the rope. You have to cut the rope. He had to ditch the rope. And so he begins to scale the wall, and he climbs it without the rope. And he gets to the gap. You know, it's cinema, and you know, it's all crazy right there. He stops for a moment, and he jumps. Now you have to understand, he tried it 50 times before, and he fell. And this time he doesn't have the rope, so if he doesn't make it, he's going to fall to his death. But he jumps, and he makes it. You guys have seen the movie. See, our agenda is a lot like the rope. Come on, somebody. Our agenda is a lot like the rope. See, it gives us a sense of safety and security. We think that our agenda is that safety net, but instead it's a trapper's net. Come on, somebody. We think that our agenda is that safety net, but instead it's a trapper's net. It's only when we learn to lose the rope, only when we learn to surrender our plans to God and our agenda to God, we will experience the true freedom that Jesus has given us. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. You're like, oh man, I gotta cut the rope. No. How many of you want to experience true freedom? Come on, I said, how many of you want to experience true freedom? Because when we have our own agenda, we're a slave to it. Man, we're always trying to make things happen, and we're always trying to do this or that. I'll tell you this, I tried to do my own agenda for 20 years of my own life, and all it led me was to bondage, all it led me was to sin, all it led me was to brokenness, all it led to me was failure, all it led to me was hurt, depression, all it led to me was with no plan or purpose. But at the age of 20 years old, when I surrendered my agenda, my plan, what I wanted to do, I surrendered it all to God. Here I am standing 5 years later as a gang regional with a beautiful daughter, with a beautiful wife, a son on the way. I get to see, travel all over the place and see people move, see God move in people's lives. But that only happened when I surrendered. That only happened when I surrendered to God. Man. Right now I have kind of a challenge ahead of me isn't there in Gang International. They want to create 3 tiers. We already kind of have those 3 tiers established, but we want to solidify them. We have the new gen, of course, our middle schoolers. How many of you love our new gen? Amen. Now we're kind of starting an official new chair tier, which is the next generation. And that's the high schoolers, amen? Because how many of you know we have to have a burden for our high schoolers? Man, it's in high school you're really finding out who you are, and it's in high school the decisions that you make will impact the rest of your life. So it's important that we need to have a tier where we're able to show them what it's like to live a godly life. We're able to pray for them. We're able to guide them. And then also we have the third tier, which is the now generation. And the now generation, this is the generation I have the hardest time with, that's the young adults. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm about to say, is there any young adults here? You guys don't want to say it because I just said I have a hard time. Amen. But the problem with young adults, and I even found this in my own life, is that we're at a place in our life where we kind of want to prove our mettle. We just graduated. You know, we're just starting families. We got our job. We want to try to build our own empire. We want to build that bank account. Come on, somebody. We want to buy that house. We want to find that rib. We want to have those kids. We want to do all those things. And sometimes those things can get in the way of the call of God. And when we're so focused finding those things, let me tell you something. I have all those things not because I went after it on my own. I have all those things because I gave everything to God and I surrendered it to Him. And I said, God, if you want to give me a rib, then you'll give me a rib. God, if you want to give me a beautiful daughter, then you'll give me a beautiful daughter, but not on my time, but on your time. Come on, give God some praise if you want to walk in God's time. So I'm battling because I see these young adults trying to make things happen. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm just telling the truth. But I want to encourage you here this morning, if you're a young adult. Man, be a part of the now generation. Give God everything right now. Give your 20s to the Lord and travel all over and preach the gospel and see people's lives change. You'll be blessed like me when I saw Patrick Jr. and Chendo and Amris up here testifying and preaching. You'll be blessed to see what God is doing. Or continue to do your own thing. I'll see you in 5 years. See where you're at. Amen. But we got to get rid of our own agenda. We got to be able to give it to God. We have to be able to surrender. Thirdly, the last thing. So the first thing was we have to seek Jesus. Secondly, we have to surrender to Jesus. The third thing we have to do if we want to catch the third wave is we need to serve Jesus. We need to serve Jesus. Some of you are like, Brother Devin, that's the same as surrender. No. You can live a surrendered life and still not serve. Come on, somebody. You can live a surrendered life and still not serve. But I go to church, but I pray. How many of you heard that before? I go to church, I pray, I'm there. But you're still not serving. Come on, somebody, we got a booth out there for kids gang. And every Sunday, they're out there trying to recruit teachers. How many of you rush back there? Man, we have ushers, we have security, we have parking lot, we have all these ministries that we're able to serve in. Every Saturday, we go out and hit the streets. Let me tell you something, if they won't take you, the gang will take you. Come on, somebody, because I need some people who are going to be willing to pour into this generation, who are going to be willing to love on them and pray on them and encourage them. But we got to serve. And trust me, those ministries will take you, amen? You just got to ask. Just be there. But we have to serve. We have to serve Jesus. My first gang convention, I remember I was there, gang warrior, hanging out. It was underneath the leadership of Pastor Patrick and Sister Michelle. And I remember that altar call, first night, opening night. I think I even sat up front with you, Pastor. Because how many of you know we have leaders who bring disciples with them? We got to bring disciples with us. And I remember I was at that altar and I was broken, crying, because I felt the call of God upon my life. And I remember clearly God speaking to me, and I remember Him clearly saying, Devin, I saved you from addiction. I saved you from a life of dealing. I saved you from depression. I saved you from being all broken. I've saved you from all these things. I've given you this life. And He said to me, I want you to give that life back to me. He said, I want you to give that life back to me. I gave you this life. I cleaned you up. I restored your family. I brought it. I gave everything to you. Now I want you to give it right back to me. I want you to give it right back to me. And I believe that there are some people here in our church that God is tugging at constantly. I restored your family. I cut you clean from drugs. I gave you everything, that job, that car, that everything that you have, that bank account. I gave it to you. Now I want you to give it right back to me. Five years later, I'm here at this gang convention, sitting in the front. Not just as a disciple, but as a regional now. Because how many of you know, I'm not saying that to boast on myself, because it wasn't me. It was all God. It was all God, because I lived a life of surrender to Him. And I'm standing there and I just see a flood. Thousands of young people come to that altar. Let me tell you something. If you haven't seen something like that, I want to encourage you to go to a convention. Because that'll humble you. And I began to get broken. And I began to say, God, man, I have such a small part, but the little that you have me do, I have the privilege to see these young people come to these altars just like I was 5 years ago. And I began to break. The message was powerful and God spoke. But it was that moment, seeing these young people come to the altar. God told me, because of your servanthood And because of the servanthood of the leadership of our church and our ministry, young people don't have to stick a needle in their arms. Come on, somebody. Young people don't have to find joy at the bottom of a bottle. Young people don't have to live a life of brokenness and depression and suicide. Young people don't have to be broken and lost. Young people don't have to live a life that of mess ups and mistakes. Victory Outreach Albuquerque, because of our servanthood. Come on, somebody. Because of our servanthood. You may be sitting here today, but I'm not a preacher. You know, I can't do any of that stuff. Let me tell you, when you're out there in the parking lot and you're smiling and that newcomer who comes and walks in and they've never been to church before, but they got a flyer or someone prayed from Victory Outreach, prayed for them, and they come into this church so broken and locked, and you're standing there smiling, greeting them, making them feel welcomed. And then we have the greeters and the ushers. When you're right there and there's a broken young person, broken fourth grader, third grader walking into kids gang, and all they know is their parents fighting. All they know is their parents addicted, because how many of you know that happens? And you're there just loving on them. That's why TYC is so important. Come on, so I want to see everyone here serving, loving on them, painting their face. You make a difference. They don't have to live that lifestyle. We have to serve Jesus. We have to understand that's why we do what we do. I don't work every day here at the church. And come on, I have a full-time job, but I'm also full-time ministry. Amen. I don't work day and night serving, because I want to sit in the front row looking good in my suit. I don't do that because, oh, I'm right there next to Pastor. I'm right there. Oh, I'm Pastor Pat's disciple or whatever. I'm the youth leader or the gang leader. I'm sorry, because we're not a youth ministry. I don't do it for that. I do it because there are young people who are just as broken and lost as I was. There are families out there. There are people who are hurting. There are people who are broken. And that's what we got at gang convention. And that's what we got at the third wave. And we have to catch that wave. If we could all just stand to our feet. When you serve, God can use you to change someone's destiny. I thank God for our leadership. I thank God for our pastor who have served tirelessly so that way I could stand here, so that way I could also serve, so I could have my beautiful family up here and dedicate my daughter who isn't destined for a life of addiction, who doesn't have to go out into the world and go and party and drink. And I don't know, I believe that God's going to use her. I'll end on this story before I call the altar call, but I remember a few years back, me and Fritos, we were out there, we were evangelizing. Right there on Montgomery and all those apartments. I don't even think we had flyers. We didn't have flyers, and you know, we're just, let's just go. You know? We felt the call of God upon our lives. We wanted to serve. We needed to do something. So I said, Fritos, let's go to this apartment. Just meet me here. The awesome thing about Fritos, man, he's down for whatever, amen? We'll make it happen. All right, let's go. So we're out there, and there's this family just outside. And we're like, let's go talk to him. So what happens is, you know, Fritos begins to talk to him, and he begins to share his testimony, his family's testimony, and what God was doing in his life, and how God delivered him, and God saved him. And then I began to preach to them, just like Pastor Sonny and Nikki Cruz used to do it all the way back in 1967. And we were to tell him, man, Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Man, you don't have to live like this. You don't have to live. And they're going to share with us about how their family's addicted and afflicted and they're broken and they don't know what to do and they're just living in this situation and they feel like there's no hope. And they started crying. We just prayed for them. That's all we could do. We prayed for them. And we told them, man, come to our church. Come to Victory Outreach. You have someone addicted, we got a home. We can take you there right now. They'll take you in. You don't even need clothes. You don't need anything. They have everything. They'll provide everything for you to allow God to do something in your life. And it didn't stop there, because there's a need. Come on. It wasn't just one family. We moved on to the next family, and it was this young guy, and he had his wife and his son, and they're just sitting out there on the stoop, and they're, you know, the stoop, and they're just, we're going to talk to him, and he said, man, I just got out of prison. I'm just here with my family, but I don't know what I'm going to do to provide. I don't know what I'm going to do for my son. I think I need to go back to that lifestyle that got me into prison. We began to again share, Frito shared his testimony, and I began to preach to him, and we prayed for them, and we're like, come to Victory Outreach, come to Victory Outreach. Jesus has a plan for you. Jesus has hope for you. We have to catch the third wave. We have to catch the third wave, because there's a whole city out there, Victory Outreach Albuquerque. There's a whole region out there. There are nations out there, countries, continents out there that need Jesus. And God has called Victory Outreach Albuquerque for such a time as this to meet that need. How are you going to use the freedom that Jesus has given you? Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. But we can't just waste it and live life every day as usual. Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, I've never truly experienced that freedom. Brother Devin, I see you said you were a drug dealer back then. You were all messed up back then, and I see what you're doing, God's done in your life. I want that. Maybe you're thinking that. Maybe you think there's no hope. I'm here to let you know that there is. And it comes in the name of Jesus Christ. If that's you here this morning, what I want to do is I'm about to pull an altar call. If maybe you're telling yourself, man, I got to use the freedom that Jesus has given me. I can't let it go to waste. If that's you here, these altars are open. But if you are here and you want to experience that freedom, these altars are open because we want to pray for you. As they begin to sing, these altars are open. Your prayer. My life is not my own.
Life is not my own.